Hello, we're on the air. This is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, also known as Tassie. We are going to be bridging some wisdom tonight with talking about communication, listening, just different things like that, because we need to walk across the bridge with an open ear so that everyone can understand what's going on out there in this world. There's several different ways and means to actively listen. There's actively listening. Well, I was taught back in the day on my vision quest that we had a talking stick, and the person that held the talking stick was the one that talked. Now, the others would listen in a group, and the ways and means that we were taught to actively listen was for the person, you know, near the person with the talking stick to actively repeat back what they understood the talker, the speaker, to say. So many people out there today are halfway listening. They hear little if none. They, that kind of thing, or they'll nod their head, which they've got their minds preoccupied in something else, or they're actively listening to their own self-talk of just little bits of information that the speaker has said in order to be able to come back with what they need. Now, what I want to talk about tonight is the listening levels. There's several different types of listening levels, and actually hearing requires little or no energy, but the involvement on the part of person that's listening, you know, in order to get what to understand requires a lot more energy than people think, because we need to ensure ourselves that we are hearing it and comprehending it in the right manner. That's why it's good to repeat back, "So I hear you saying," or "So from what I understand you saying is." In that way, that communication keeps going instead of just one person talking and the other person listening. Now, when it comes to retaining the message, you know, what the speaker's saying, that is a very big effort on the part of the person that is listening. Want to look at this, the ways and means to an even greater, greater degree is that there's a common problem with poor listeners, which they determine what they want to hear and kind of just filter out the rest. Now, an empathic listener, that's even a greater degree of involvement in energy levels. And I'll talk about that more in a little bit. But right now I want to talk about the largest aspect of being a listener, and to understand and analyze and evaluate the content that the person speaking is talking about. Like me, for an example. I'm out here talking away on www.bbsradio.com, station one. And I do want to get out there that the 1-800 number is not working. So if you'd like to give a call in, there's three other numbers that are listed on the main page or on my www.bbsradio.com/brightlightspathfinders. Now, first of all, we hear. Hearing what someone says, that's listening to understand in a content. And then the listening has to be retained in a content. And then the listener has to analyze it and evaluate the content. And that helps the other in active empathic listening. Now, where I'm going with this is that the number one reason of divorce or breakup is because another person doesn't listen, or they take things for granted, or they take things out of context. Now, what I'm getting at this with is because my son's getting married in 2 weeks, and I hope to gosh they're listening. They said they were going to be listening. But communication is the number one, up foremost ways and means of communication, and with growing in a relationship or with growing in anything, to feel your heart, to understand what your heart is trying to say. And it's written on your heart. Like when I'm talking right now. Now, what I'm saying can be written on your heart as something that you want to pull up later on. So there's different types. There's the completer, somebody that will fill in the gap when you're talking. You know, you'll be talking and then they'll finish your sentence, or they don't get the whole story because they have misinterpreted it because they've cut in and taken part of what the person's saying. There's the subjective listener, which is going after the honey and flower and the juice of the matter. And then they remark only what interests them. They don't really look at all sides of what the person has been speaking about. Then there's the avoiders, which are, you know, they put on like an ear muffin, yeah. Or they'll, you know, do one of those stay class, but they're really busy doing something else. So it's great to stop that right in its tracks, because why would some, that's almost, I want to call it rude. It's being very rude. Now there's the avoiders that, you know, how I've said it several times on the show, take the cotton out of your ears and place it in your mouth so that you can hear the active listener speak. Also, I've always said, it's not look for the times, it's listen for the times, because we've got to start listening to one another, to understand what one another's saying, not just looking at their actions and their body language and this and that, and how, who shot what and who did what. It's listening, listening to each other communicate in order to be able to comprehend what it is that we could do to correct something, understand something, feel something, or become a part of something. So then there's these defensive listeners, which tend to just remark back and forth in kind of an attack method. And that's usually an insecure person. They usually adapt to pounce in and out of things, like bring you on to their life and take you out of their life or whatever. But it's all in a perceptive type of mode. You know, it threatens the other person when another is not actively listening to them, and that they jump to conclusions. So that is being defensive. Now, where I'm getting a lot of this information, I'm not just making this up. This is in my communication works in my college book. So it's something that I had to study, and I did make an A on, because I am a good student, because I like to actively learn. Okay, so then there's these attackers. The attackers that make mistakes and slip-ups one after another, or they're short to fuse or whatever, and then they try to come back with, try to sweep it under the rug, which that diminishes the person that is speaking. Now, what I want to get at is, let's see, somebody's on, there's a call on line one for me. Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Kathy. It's Tina, Mother's Ring.
Tina, the Mother's Ring. Oh, wow.
How are you?
Let me explain to the active listeners who you are. Back when Ashley was getting married, I got a ring off of, where was that, eBay? It was an Edwardian, beautiful rose-cut stone, and Tina is the one that sold it to me. We didn't know each other from Adam, but like we all do, and everybody knows I'm very outgoing and out, you know, spoken and never meet a stranger, we became really good friends. But yet, Tina, I haven't talked to you in a couple of years. How have you been?
I've been all right. Life is just moving along the way it's supposed to, I guess. Lots of changes.
Yeah. I've still got all your readings back in the day.
Huh?
I said I've still got all your readings on recording back in the day.
I know. That was kind of interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. Tina's a math teacher.
How are you doing?
So I'm doing great. You're a math teacher still, right?
Yeah, I'm still teaching math.
And you're still doing numerology and all that?
Yeah, I am. Actually, things have been really interesting. It's I turned 44 this year.
Double foundation.
And all my numbers are 444, 144. There's all sorts of signs this year, all sorts of synchronicities going on.
Isn't that something? You know what I learned, Tina? You'll love this. Take the year that you were born, like 19, whatever, and add it to your year 44, and you will come up with a 111. No matter who does this.
It's funny. Somebody sent that to me the other day.
I'm 1956, and I can add 55 to it. It comes to 111. Even a child that's, you know, 8 or 7, they'll come up to it with a 1-1. But that is so weird year. That's the only year I believe it happens, isn't it?
It's an algorithm. It actually works out for everybody.
I know, right?
There's a pattern behind that.
So what have you been learning since we've talked?
Oh, I don't know.
Your spirituality.
What have I been learning? Learning about what?
Your spirituality. You were coming pretty far and
rapidly
there
way.
For a while. I hadn't talked to him in 2 years.
You know who I know. I've done a lot of research in the last few years. I Edgar Cayce was my first awakening, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And I've done so much beyond that. I actually just finished listening to some interviews by a gentleman named George Cavasilis. Have you heard of him?
I have not. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, it's very interesting the way that he actually channels, not just channels, but he's gone on several ET visits and all sorts of things. And a lot of what he says resonates with a lot of things that I believe in, too. So, but I've got a lot of Facebook contacts now, and, you know, just things are, I don't know, a lot of spiritual stuff, definitely.
Wow.
No longer interested
in religion. Would you mind moving back from the mic just a little bit? Because it's pretty strong for me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. You wouldn't have done it if I hadn't have told you. But I see that you're in with my friend Ellie Crystal of CrystalLinks.com.
Oh, yeah.
I believe I introduced you to her before you even got started with when we first started talking.
That's right.
She is one profound lady, isn't she?
She's funny. Yeah, she's very direct and very honest.
Yes,
she did a
sure
read for me
is.
1 year.
She's great. She's got a great enzymes, you know, from A to Z there for anything and everything that one needs to pull up there. I really like her. She's a good lady.
That I reference quite often. You know. And David Wilcock is another one that I reference on occasion.
Uh-huh. Yeah, David does a lot of shows here on BBS.
Yeah, and he, and I've watched Ancient Aliens where he's done some clips on that, which has been kind of interesting. Lots of stuff coming together. I'm anxious to see what's going to happen in 2012, 2013 here. A little anxious.
Yeah. You want to do a private group, or you want to?
That's why I call. Huh?
Do you want to do it privately, or you want to do it now?
Well, we can do it now.
Okay.
How many listeners you got?
I was doing lecturing, so I pretty much didn't put out the calls today. So, but that's okay. We are where we're supposed to be every single time. So.
Cool.
That's great. Do you want to start with? Oh, let me tell you, Don says that the 888 number does work now, which is the 1-800 number. So if anyone wants to give a call in on that number, it will work. What do you want to start with? Do you want to start with colors? You want to do with the... I usually cleanse... You know how I do. I cleanse a person out first to get to where they are. So I don't just jump into a reading because it could go different ways if a person hasn't been cleansed out properly.
Okay.
Okay, so are you ready to just close your eyes and do a couple of deep breaths for me and just center yourself and clean out your mind and let things go?
Okay, doing that now.
Okay, and while you're doing that.
Position here.
Okay, while you're doing that, I'm going to get a pen because I was not, here's one, wasn't thinking I was going to do this tonight, but that's good. I love it when this happens. Especially hearing from, hey, do you have a mother ring for me for Matthew's wedding? Okay.
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Oh, that Edwardian ring is gorgeous. What I want you to do, Tina, is I'm going to take some deep breaths with you as well. I'm going to breathe in from my abdomen and then blow out. And we're going to do this about 4 times. And then as we go and do this, I want you to just feel yourself floating and relaxing your body away from yourself. Just keep floating and relaxing. You can be in yourself or away from yourself. Think of yourself as if you were in an astronaut outfit, because you will not let go of God. You will not let go of the Creator, because you will have that umbilical cord there. But just keep breathing real slow and calmly in through the nose. All the good and positive, and blow out all the things that are affecting you and bothering you. Breathe in through the nose again. And one more. Now, as you just relax yourself and let your body go, it could be daylight. You can see clouds and you can see the sunshine and whatever you want. Or you could see rain with the rainbow or thunderstorms. You could see out in the atmosphere. You just keep floating. You can see in the, it could be midnight or darkness, and you can see the stars. You can see the planets. But I want you to just look up and out and tell me what you see.
Sunflowers.
Sunflowers?
Yes, I'm looking at sunflowers.
Okay.
Yep.
Can you just, what else
do
you see?
I'm looking at an indigo blue sky. And I can feel the wind, the breeze, it's warm. And I'm just standing in a field of sunflowers.
Okay. As you keep going, are you connected to yourself? Or are you away from yourself?
I'm awake. I wasn't sure what you asked me.
Are you in yourself or are you away from yourself?
Actually, I'm looking at myself, so I must be away from myself.
Okay. So, can you just give me some feelings that you get with that sunflower? Just the sunflower. When you're looking at that sunflower and all those sunflowers, I want you to look at all of, because you were looking at all of them at first, right? Just a big field of sunflowers. So as you're looking at a big field of sunflowers, what is it that you descriptively feel with yourself?
Joy. When I see sunflowers, I just feel happiness. I feel like everything's just the way it's supposed to be.
Okay, can you,
feel,
it just...
I still feel lonely.
You said what now?
I feel lonely, though.
You feel lonely. I was getting ready to pull you to one sunflower. I want you to zoom right on top of that one sunflower and just, I mean, like you're hovering over the top of it and just look at it really deeply, the colors, the way it connects, all the parts of it, and give me descriptive feelings, adjectives, what you feel with that.
I feel like the petals represent every experience I've had.
It feels
and
like what? Every experience you've had?
Huh?
Did you say that again? You're breaking up a little bit because you're pretty close to the mic.
Okay. The petals represent experiences that I've had in my life.
Okay.
And the center, there's so many little seeds in the center. Those represent things that I've learned. That's the way I think about it when I'm looking right at the sunflower. All those little seeds are seeds of something that's happened that's allowed me to grow. And the petals are experiences. I mean, they're colorful and they all go in different directions and the petals are growth.
Okay. Now, how do you feel? Give me some feelings about that. Those are descriptions. Now I'd like to have some descriptive adjectives, some descriptives. Okay. How do you feel when you look at the petals, you know, that experience or the experiences in your life?
I feel some sadness, but some relief of the sadness. Like I've grown so much over the last few years. I feel like my feelings are, I'm still frustrated. There's still some things that need to be worked through. I feel happiness because I know that I've got, you know, like the petals, I've got tons of people in my life that love me and I love. So I feel joyous about that part. I feel loving and forgiveness. I still feel lonely. It's still something that makes me feel lonely. I don't know what it is. I feel like I haven't really quite finished yet, whatever I'm supposed to do, whatever my purpose is. I feel like there's something missing. I'm not sure what it is. I feel like I'm still floundering a little bit. That's a little bit frustrating for me. Yeah, that's what I feel. But I mean, an overall happiness.
Right.
I'm still
writing this stuff down, so So I have it in my
I'm
notes.
Searching. I'm not even sure what I'm searching for. But I do feel like there's so many synchronicities lately that I know there's these patterns coming together for me. And I feel like I'm, and maybe that's what I'm searching for. I'm searching for the key. But I know that the key is love. I'm not sure what it is that I have left to release so that I can actually get to that point where it can be unconditional, you know, for myself as well as others. So that's pretty much how I feel at the moment.
Okay, now can you just keep in that spot? Okay, and I want you to look around, and I want you to see yourself coming back down to earth, and you're just gently floating back and down and down, and you're a color. The one particular color is everywhere. Everywhere you look, this
indigo
is a color.
Blue.
What color?
Indigo blue. The blue violet color. Indigo blue.
Okay. Now start just telling me about indigo blue.
What?
Give me feelings, descriptive feelings about the indigo blue.
Oh, just, it's such an incredibly beautiful color. It's just deep and it's soulful and it's just beautiful. It's beauty. I mean, it's just beauty. It reminds me of when I was a kid at Christmas time, that's the feeling that I get when I'm inside that color. It's like twilight. It's like looking at a beautiful sunset. Just that deep blue-violet color is, I don't know, something I have a very, very strong connection to.
Okay.
And silvers. There's a lot of silver.
Got some silver in it?
There's some streaks of silver and silver stars. And aqua, a really light aqua blue. Those three colors together, like a flame.
So when can you give me some descriptive adjectives of the
Aqua, the aqua blue feels fresh and cool and clean and like springtime. Happy, but a very calm, soothing, happy. And for the indigo blue, it's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's like twilight. It's my favorite time of the day. It just makes me feel deep, emotionally grounded, I guess. I don't really know how to explain it with other adjectives.
Okay, that's good. Do you see what the silver feels or the deep violet color? What do those colors give you a feeling of?
Warmth. I know warmth isn't a feeling, but I mean, it's a physical feeling, but
right.
When your heart is full. You know, when you're really, when everything seems to be going the right way and, you know, everything seems to be, I don't know. There's still a part of me that I can't take that lonely feeling. There's something inside of that that's just, something is missing right now. I'm not sure what it is.
Okay. Could you just
but
now
it's, like that. It's almost, huh?
Oh, that's okay. Keep going.
I don't know how to explain it.
Is it a void? Is it a looking? Is it a longing? Is it a
no? It's a longing.
Anticipation or waiting?
I feel like I'm waiting.
Okay.
The big thing. I mean, I feel like it's when I think about the cosmos and, you know, being out there, I think of that indigo blue color and beautiful stars that are really white and shining against that. I mean, it's almost like there's a party out there and my turn to go. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it. It's strange.
Yeah.
I feel like there are times where I close my eyes and I feel like there's such energy somewhere, and I know I'm going to get there, but I'm waiting to get there, and it's almost as if I'm holding back, or I'm not able to get there yet. I don't know what it is that I still need to release. I'm still working on it, but there's like an excitement, and I just can't reach it. And I feel like I'm just kind of getting through my days to get through my days, waiting for the inevitable, and I'm not even sure what the inevitable is, but I know it's something way better than, you know, what I've lived here on this earth, I guess. Although I'm trying to appreciate every day and every moment. It's still
okay.
Something that it feels like something big is coming, but I don't know what it is.
Right.
Does that help at all?
Yeah. Okay, now if you could just see how you're, are you still attached or detached from the umbilical cord of the, like the space to be able to float? Are you grounded or on the ground on Earth? Or are you on the ground looking up at the stars in the indigo? Or are you just in the indigo?
I'm on the ground. In fact, I was in my backyard up on my little knoll looking up at the stars. That's where I was, so that's where I am now in my mind.
So now you're in yourself instead of looking at yourself.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, the symbolic meaning of indigo is sort of like a importance that you're looking for. It's a power, and it's a wealth of good being. It also is
it's
wealth of good being, feeling good about yourself as indigo. It's for you to feel important and to feel powerful. You know, your power, your spiritual powers, your strengths, as well as the indigo represents the indigo children per se. You know that they're, you know about the indigo children, don't you? You know where they're like they're misunderstood or they can't seem to fit into a certain place, but they know a lot more than the people of the generations before knew, and very gifted. And anyway, it's a rich darkness of blue, and that is the deepest color of a flame, actually, in a candlestick, don't you think? If the flame is lit. So that is really hot with passion. It's like a hot with passion. You want this so strongly. Now, I'm going to do some more of these, but I'm going to give you your understandings of what these are so far. But when I ask you other questions now, they have nothing to do with this particular way I'm doing it right now, okay? Now, when you were floating up out of the atmosphere, okay, and what you said that you saw yourself, well, in other words, you were looking at yourself. And so if you were looking at yourself, you saw the sunflowers, right?
Right.
Okay, and looking at yourself is that's a vision quest. Now, if you're in your body, like even in your dreams and in your sleep state, if you're in your body, that's a wish, want, or a desire. Okay, so I want you to hold on to that. Wish, want, or desire is being inside your body, which is you when you were grounded and looking up. Okay, you were wish, want, and desire of the stars and the blue and the silver lining and all that stuff. But as a sunflower, what you saw as a sunflower in the atmosphere, that's really unique because you were bringing your seeds, like the star seed people, the seeds of life, because the sunflower is a bunch of seeds. And it also represents the feeling of you had detached, so you were on your vision quest, and you felt really joyful and happy when you did that. It was as the way it's supposed to be. You had made the conclusion and decision that all things are as they should be, and you were very content with that. But you still had that feeling of loneliness because maybe you want to share it with somebody that understands you on your given path. The petals, which you had in your sunflower, are your experiences in your life. So you've gotten many, many experiences, but you had a field of flowers, sunflowers. So you've gone through a lot of many different transformations in your day and time. And now you're centering yourself into the one sunflower, which happens to allow yourself to grow stronger. And the color was growing in many directions, is what you said. And the petals sometimes made you sad because you were looking, but they also made you happy, and some of them made you frustrated, which is part of life. You know, we go with the flow. We learn, we get hurt, we feel angry, we wish we hadn't have said things. And then again, we look at all the things that we've grown from, and we look at the ways and means that we are so big and bright and strong and have so many seeds to let out to other people, you know, because our seeds will grow, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. It's up to the person to take or keep what is sown to them. And it's like that maybe you feel this joyful lovingness and forgiveness, but you were still lonely. Now, the thing is that I'm getting at is a personal relationship with yourself and a higher power, because you are maybe not wanting to do anything wrong to get on the wrong path. The path is too vast and wide, and you want to make sure you're on the right path that will never destruct anyone or harm anyone. You're very sensitive. You're very empathic, and you hold things inside your heart that people say, speak, or do in front towards you that are either positive or negative. You hold it in, and you're not much to speak out to the person when the communication arises. However, you're very happy at looking at yourself inside. You're not sure what you're searching for, but you see the patterns. The patterns are there. You just have to put them together. And that's what you realize, that when you love to release yourself to others, those are your words. And the flower, the sunflower, represents, you know, like, to me, the last drawing I drew was a sunflower at the summer solstice. And I drew that sunflower with hot flames as the petals, you know, for the sun.
Oh, cool.
And then the center of it is a bunch of little dots. So I was very hot and extremely ready to move on, you know, to get my seeds planted. So I'm just giving you that as an analogy. Now, blue, the colors that you chose, those represent what you think and feel of yourself right now at this given time. Now, the first color you gave me was indigo, and that's a strong, powerful, independent color. And it's also one that has a deep meaning. So you're a very deep, deep, deep thinker, and you have a hard time finding someone to communicate with you on the depths of the level that you wish to go to, especially in spirituality. You feel deeply grounded. What's so odd is when I took you up to the atmosphere, you saw the sunflowers, which live on the ground, but when you grounded, you looked up. You see, you looked down. Instead of continuing looking up, there's a saying that my father told me. He says, don't look down and out. Look up and out. Because if you look down and out, you will surely stumble and fall. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
And what I'm getting at is when you were grounded, you were looking up, which is the way you're supposed to do all the time. But when you were up in the sky, looking up, instead of seeing planets and stars and, you know, or whatever's up there, you were looking down and seeing a field of sunflowers. You were looking down at all the things that had happened to you, all the lessons, all the things that you had learned, instead of looking up at what more is to come. And the seeds come with you. The seeds come be a part of you, but you were out of your body. So therefore, it was a vision quest. You were questing. So your vision quest, which is good, because on a vision quest, we go and seek what we need to understand about our life's path, what we've done before, what we've walked, how we've talked, how we've been, and we make an inventory of that, and we decide what to keep and what not to keep, and we don't beat ourselves up over it. If it's something that we wish we could change, we just change it, you know, learn from it and change it and let it grow, because the more somebody's pushed down or pulled down, the higher they can soar if they choose to. And that's what you did, because when you got grounded, you became the beauty that reminded you of a kid at Christmas. Because what is a kid at Christmas but, you know, anticipation, waiting on the excitement and the newness and the gleam of everything, and the twilight. And the sunset is actually something that you spoke out of too. Well, the sunset is where the sun rises, falls, right? And that's where God mysteriously finger paints his colors on those heavenly walls. So you're very much into mystery. You're very much into trying to solve it. You're looking for something solid and solid foundation to be able to hold on to for the mystery of God. In other words, you need some kind of proof that things are going the way that they should be, but you want to solve it. You want to make sure that it's right, because you don't want to make any mistakes in it, because you know that you are representing not only yourself, but others that surround you. You're very aware of yourself being a role model, and also being judged. You are your worst judge, not anybody else, because they don't think about it. Being judged, you know, the power of judgment. We are our own worst enemy. We put ourselves in a dungeon. We put ourselves in, we're the judge, the juror, the DA. We're all those things. And before we know it, we put ourselves in a dungeon because we self-doubt talk. But what's happening here is you've got that deep violet going on. And that deep violet is something that gave you the time of the day to ground yourself. And then you saw the clouds of the silver lining. You saw the silver stars, and you saw all the ways that the stars look that made you feel warm and heartfelt and still a part of, but you were still lonely because you don't know your place, of what place you fit in this universe, besides being a teacher, a mother. I feel like there's been a breakup or something. I'm not sure, but I feel like a combination of some community is coming together soon.
I'm not married anymore.
Oh, really? That's the loneliness, but I see a lot of stars out there. You don't know what, you don't want to make that mistake twice. You want to pick the right thing, the right person, but when we let go, it just happens. You feel refreshed and cool and clean, especially in springtime. So something good's coming around for you this spring because you feel more happy and soothing and calming with the time of the year that it is. And the aqua, which is a refreshing color, is also you're waiting. You're waiting on the cosmos. So you are actually definitely in a metaphysical state of mind. And you see it beautiful. And beautiful to me is the beauty inside and outside. It's not of what something looks like, but it's the beauty of who and what someone is. And that's what you are. You are who and what. You want people to see you as who you are. You want people to see you as what you are and not all about how you look. And that's how you look at other people as well. You also have, you want to be included in some kind of group or congregation that is in a teaching method of, you know, say Edgar Cayce or say, you know, in David that you were talking about or somebody, but you want to be able to apply towards it, and you want to be able to be a part of it and have your say in it as well and ask questions and go from there, kind of like a group. You also, when you close your eyes, the energy is everywhere, and you hold back your excitement, though, you said. And some things come, but you know that something's coming, but you just don't know what it is. You're anticipating it, just like Christmas time. So then you went on the ground and started looking up again. So you are grounded. How do you like this so far?
Oh, perfect. You got it right on, Kathy.
Thanks, darling. So you want to do
That's
a couple
wonderful.
More? Yeah, well, deep root readings take a couple of days, you know, months out to be exact, and we haven't communicated with each other since what, Ashley got married the 8th of March 2008. So
wow,
I know.
That's
how long it's been since we've communicated and talked. Isn't that something?
Oh, now,
what I want you to do is I want you to
I said time really flies.
Yes, it does. I know that we've got another caller from Minnesota, PJ, online. Just appreciate you holding, PJ, while we get through with this, and then I'll get with you in a minute. Tina, what I want you to do is take a couple more deep breaths and go really deep inside yourself this time. I don't even want you to open your eyes. Okay? PJ's gone, so we're okay. Even though I wish PJ would call back soon. You know, I hate to keep somebody waiting, but, you know, first come, first serve. When it comes to a deep root reading, that's what it's all about. It takes, you know, a good long time to do it. But what I want you to feel, I want you to go inside yourself, Tina, and feel really deeply inside. Every breath you take, I want you to go into each muscle, you know, and let each muscle go. Relax your shoulders, relax your arms. Tell your shoulders to relax even more, blow out. Relax your arms, blow out. Relax your legs. Relax your head, it's falling. Relax your arms again. Relax your shoulders again. Just continue like you're a wet noodle. Continue on until you're just this wet, wet noodle. And as you do that, I want you to look over. You can look at something in a house. You can look at the water. You can look at something in the yard. You can look at an animal. You choose whatever you are looking at and seeing. But I want you to become that particular person, place, or thing, or object, or animal. I want you to become it. It can be a spoon in a drawer. It can be, you know, a picture on a wall. It can be the walls in a house, a fireplace, a door. Or it can be the brick outside of the grass, or the trees, or or an animal walking by, or it can be some kind of water. It could be just a plain room. It doesn't matter. It's your choice. This is your breath, what you're breathing. But it's only one particular thing that you can focus on, okay? Like a mantra.
Okay. I'm
going to
tell you what I'm looking at.
Uh-huh. And then I want you to get to stay in it and just breathe it and become it and evolve into it. And when you're ready, you just start talking.
Okay. Well, the closest thing that I was looking at was my cat.
Okay. Now, you become
that cat. I pretended I was the cat. Huh?
I want you to become that cat. Close your eyes and become a cat. Doesn't have to be that cat. It can be a lion, a tiger, any kind of cat. But I want you to feel that cat. I want you to look out of that cat's eyes. I want you to feel the coat. I want you to actually become the cat. Just keep closing your eyes. I know you can do it. You just keep breathing deeper and deeper. And when you start to feel what the cat is feeling, I want you to describe it to me, okay? What you feel.
I guess I'll tell you how I feel. I was petting my cat, and if I was her right now, I would feel incredible having somebody rub my hair on my back and content and secure, knowing that I'm always taken care of, confident and playful, fun, a little needy, but independent. Safe. Anxious to try new things. Anxious to go outside. Feel the grass on my toes. Roll around the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Content. Warm. Playful. Yeah, that's what I would feel if I was a cat.
Okay. Now, being a cat is how people, being any type of animal that you chose instead of something in a house, it's actually what people see in you. An animal, you know how an animal, like a cat or a dog, they depend on a person. So that's what they see in you. We're going to take the cat as a person and what they see in you. How they see you as a person, Tina. And they feel, and then you put, I wish. So that's very significant because you wish that you could be a lot of the things that the cat feels. You, in other words, you project yourself out to other people and places and things in a way and manner that is not inside your heart, but it's your outsideness, and you play the role of whatever you need to play. You're like a chameleon, per se. You can adapt to any way, shape, or form, but inside you don't let too many people in. You don't trust too much. You do, but you don't, because you've been stepped on with your trust. You also feel very,
yep.
What'd you say?
I said I love you.
Oh, okay. It's, people see you as an incredible person and very content and happy and secure with yourself. However, you like to play a little bit and have a little bit of fun, but you're very needy on having the fun and just carefree and letting go. You're real uptight with yourself. Not uptight, but you're very reserved with yourself. You don't let go and you don't let yourself hair down very much, but only with certain few that you feel confident with and that really will take care of you because your needs have not been met and they have been hurt by certain few in the past. but you are very independent. It has taught you to be very independent, and you feel very safe about your independence. You're anxious with yourself, and you're ready to try new things, but you don't know exactly what they are. You've got a little mischievousness in you, and you love to go outside and wander around, but you don't like to get into too much. You just like to get a little dirty and, you know, roll around in the dirt or whatever, in the grass on your toes. That means that you like to feel. You're a feely, touchy person, and you haven't had that in a while, maybe. Maybe that's something that's caused you to feel the needs that aren't being met, is your outside being stroked as well as being listened to, because you are a very content person, they see, and that you're very warm and playful once they break into you and get to know you a little bit better.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Right on with all of it.
Yeah. It's a pretty amazing way to do things, isn't it?
Yeah, you're awesome. I love you. I want to let you go to your other caller now. I feel guilty now.
There's no caller anymore, so we can do another if you want.
Well, it's up to you.
It's up to you, darling. I mean, I can do whatever. We got about 10 minutes left, which is enough to do one more if you want to do some water.
Okay, let's do water.
Okay. You know, it can be any kind of water. It can be the whole ocean. It can be a cup of water. It can be a drop of water. It can be coming out of a water spigot, a bathtub, a shower. It can be the waterfalls to all the way to a creek bed. You know, any vast amount of water or small amount of water. You choose it, but I want you to tell me if you're looking at it or if you're in it or you have become it. Okay? So when you're finding your water, you're either in it, you're looking at it, or you've become it.
Okay, I will tell you what it is exactly, because I've been feeling this the last few days. I don't know why, but when we were kids, we had a town pool, and we used to jump in the shower. There's a shower that you had to rinse off before you jumped in the pool, and the shower water was freezing cold, but then as soon as you dove into the pool, and I'm in the water right now just feeling it, it was warm, and it was just being underwater is so amazing. And looking up at the top of the water with your eyes open and just seeing the light play on the water and the shadows that it made, it's just, there's such mystery inside the water. And when I dream some oftentimes that in a flying dream that I will fly into the water and I'll be able to walk and breathe underwater. I do that a lot. I do dream of that quite a bit. So it's when I think of water, I think of a large pool of water that I'm underneath, and, you know, it could be a lake, but I was initially thinking of the pool that I grew up in because we had so much fun there. That's what I think of when I think of water. I love water.
Now I want you to think with these feelings, I want you to feel each of that. Feel the breeze and feel the freezing cold water. What descriptive adjectives could you give me of those feelings of rinsing off first in the shower? What exhilarating excitement of getting anticipation.
Yep, giddy, laughing, giddy, happy, because even though I'm experiencing the chill on my skin, I know something warmer or something better is coming, that, you know, to sort of balance that feeling of chill, it will all balance out with the sunshine and, when I jump in the other pool of water, it's going to be warm. It's just, when you're under, it's just happiness. That's total joy for me, being in water. And so being in that cold shower was anticipation. Even though it was chilly, you didn't mind it, because if you didn't have that feeling, then you weren't going to get to the other better part. You know?
Uh-huh.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Water makes me happy. And then jumping in the pool, like I said, right when you jump in the pool, the feeling is such a soothing, calm, peaceful, because it's muted. It's you don't hear anything, and it's quiet. So when I jump in the larger pool of water, it's almost like being in the cosmos for me. You know, it's just silence, but there's so much there. The mystery is there. That's what I feel like when I'm underwater.
Okay. Is that about it?
Yep.
Okay, well, water is what we feel in a relationship. How we evolve and how we feel in a relationship. Your relationship is very mysterious. So therefore, what is God? But he's mystery, right? The cosmos. Right. He's silent because he is. What is the cosmos and what is the mystery but silence? But we have to listen with meditation, you know, for what the message is. And you know it's there. You know it's always there. And in your relationship, look, here's your answer. Because you felt lonely, right? And with the sunflowers and all that stuff. And okay, you think of yourself as being lonely. But with this relationship and the town pool, in other words, all these people are going into the same community pool. You're looking for that group, like I said. You're looking for that group that you fit with, like the old town community pool. You know that the water, you have to rinse off and it's freezing cold. But you know, after you go through the steps that you have to get to where you need to be, you're giddy and laughing and you're happy and you've got a chill on your skin because you know that in a little bit it's going to be warmer and better and the sunshine's going to come and the happiness and total joy. And even though you were anticipating the chilly, it didn't really matter because of that, knowing that mystery of that underneath that warm water, that pool of water, where you can't hear anything except for your inside thoughts and your inside self. And you can open your eyes and you can see the shadows dancing of the old things that you've let go of, all the old things you've let go of, all the history that was made there. And it's like your walking dream because we are awake now. And that was your walking dream. And now you can breathe underwater because nothing is stopping you because you're back in the umbilical. Say Mother Earth is like the womb, okay? And as Mother Earth has the womb, just like any mother, it's got that embryonic fluid which we can breathe. We can breathe under that warm, warm water. But you know now that it's going to be exciting. And because where we go after we die is how we live inside of Mother Earth's womb. How we walk and talk and do and feel and see and hear and how we respect others, how we don't lie, how we say the truth, how we feel and act in every way, shape, and form. That's the way that we'll get to the other side. But we'll always get to the other side, but it's just which star, you know, am I going to be placed on? And you have pretty much looked at your past. You've walked your history. You've looked back. You now know how to breathe in contentment with the anticipations of all things. You feel a healing that is coming over you and that you also wouldn't have had if you had not experienced the other side, which is the cold showered water. You know, if you hadn't experienced that, you could not appreciate the warmth and beauty of being under the water and being able to breathe and the mystery that's there, which is now you have found your center with your higher self and God as his understanding, which is like the underneath of the water. So you do fit in everywhere. Does that help?
Oh, that helps a ton, tremendously. You know, just talking about it makes it much clearer in my mind as to what's really going on, the bigger picture. I guess sometimes I get so caught up in the day-to-day things that I'm experiencing that I forget to realize, you know, that it's the bigger picture that I need to keep my eye on because there is so much more out there, and once we leave what we're doing here it's on a much grander scale, maybe what I'm experiencing now with this loneliness is like that chill.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to enjoy every day for what I have to offer, knowing something better is coming.
Yeah, and you pretty much in just this little bit of time we've talked have evolved into that better and have evolved into understanding more because these were your words. I just put them into what, like I started the show with, active listening. I'm saying, so what I hear you say is, and I'm giving you back by the analogies that I asked, that you gave me the questions of the answers to. And that's what it's all about.
Wonderful.
You're wonderful, so too. I love you and miss you. Do you still have my phone number?
I love you, too. Yes, I do, and I will get in touch sometime very soon.
I lost yours once upon a time when I changed cell phones, so give me a call, girl. It's great talking to you, Tina. Tina, the mothering, everybody. She is an awesome lady. How can people get in touch with you that want to get on this path with you? Do you have a Facebook or a web page?
Yeah, I do have a Facebook. Yeah, Tina Soucy, S-O-U-C-Y.
S-O-U-C-Y?
You got it.
Okay. Thank you, girl.
I love you.
Big hugs.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye. Well, that was something that is just the beginning of a deep root reading. What I like to do is I like to get the person to give their own answers to their own self. I just guide, kind of direct, like, you know, a mentor, and then I kind of put it in the ways and perspectives of what I see those words meaning, which this could go way deeper, which if Tina and I get together, we'll go way deeper into the words that I wrote down. But everything is symbolic. Everything has a meaning, and everything has an understanding. It's just up to us to apply it, up to us to live it and walk it and talk it. And remember, everyone, bridging wisdom is all about communication and not jumping to conclusions, but making sure that it's unconditional love from the heart so that we can all walk across the bridge of life together and bridge wisdom, one wisdom spoke at a time. And with that, I'm out of time to be able to let the next radio station come on air of www.bbsradio.com. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, bridging wisdom, bringing life one octave higher, one broadcast at a time. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.